You notice that in the readings and in the prayers for this Mass, the opening Sunday of Lent, we hear about temptation. So temptation is clearly the theme. And so as we enter into the Lenten journey, we have to keep in mind that part of the story for us is going to be temptation. This is not, when we come to Mass and hear the scriptures and hear the prayers, it's not just something that's out there, it's something that's in here, that's something that we enter into. And so temptation is going to be a part of Lent if we are really entering into Lent. So if we're not taking Lent seriously, then we're not going to be probably experiencing the trials, the testing, the temptation that we hear throughout the Mass today. What we have the creation story in the first reading. So, you know, God breathing into the clay and making man. And immediately following the creation is the temptation. So temptation is there from the beginning. Testing is there from the beginning. And then we have laid out after Jesus is anointed with the Spirit, he is sent by the Spirit into the desert where he is tempted, where he is tried, where he is tested. What we have with Jesus, I think we can take a look at his experience of temptation and extract from it a template, a process in the way that temptation works, and so that we can bring it into our own life. Now, the first thing that we have to embrace if we want to make this story our own and draw fruit from it is that we have to acknowledge the reality of sin, that sin exists, that we are sinners, that sin isn't just something out there. You know, all of us have spoken to people, you know, who, and most of us, maybe we are the people who speak this, that we talk about, like, you know, I'm not really a bad person, I haven't killed anyone. You have to recognize that, you know, killing someone is not the only sin that's out there. And just because you haven't killed anyone means you're a pretty darn good person. No, there's much more to the moral life. The moral life is the life of Christ, living the life of Christ in this world. And so we all know that there's much more to it than that. And so if we recognize that, We all know that we are unworthy to enter the presence of God. So the reality of sin and that we are all sinners. The church is a house of sinners. That's why we're here. If you do not have sin and basically you're a good person because you have not murdered anyone, then you do not need to be here. You really don't. So if we can embrace that, we can accept that. Now let's take a look at and walk through Jesus' temptation. He's in the desert. He's there for 40 days. He's fasting and he's hungry. And so the devil comes to him to tempt him. And he says, turn these stones into bread. Well, bread's a good thing. Food is a good thing. It is meant to satisfy the body. And so it's something created by God and something provided by God in his goodness to us. So why would it be such a, you know, shouldn't be such a bad thing? Well, first of all, Jesus is hungry. So how does the process of temptation begin ordinarily? It begins with a vulnerability, a weakness, or maybe even a woundedness. So his physical hunger was the vulnerability. All right? And then it moves to what? Something good is presented to us, an attractive thing. So it would have been attractive for Jesus to see that bread after he was so hungry. It's speaking to his need, right? So the first two steps of temptation, a particular woundedness that we would have, it can be on the bodily level, it could, for the need for food. It can be on the psychological level, the need for acceptance and affection. It can be on the social and spiritual level, the need for God. All right, so if a particular need is not being met within our lives, there's a woundedness. There's a vulnerability that we have within us. And so what the evil spirit does is, and what the devil does is he presents, hey, here's an opportunity to be satisfied, to be healed. Just do this. The third step is what? Okay, so he presents this opportunity. Here's the bread. Nice, warm, smells good. Mm-hmm. Then he begins a dialogue with Jesus on his plane. He quotes scripture. And so it moves from this attract something that one's attracted to a conversation about why this would be a good thing. Why we actually kind of you need to eat this, why you need to take this in. We begin to rationalize. It becomes not just a good thing, but a thing we must have. I was where we all have our Lenten resolutions Fat Tuesday I had my resolutions, strong and clearly in place. And there was a specific drink that I was going to be, that I enjoy in the afternoon, not alcohol, that I was going to give up. And so on Tuesday I was in good shape. I was like, it's going to be a great Lent, and I know clearly what I need to do. And Wednesday in the afternoon, I'm used to having this drink in the afternoon, and so I was craving it. There was a vulnerability there, and so I was attracted to it. And then I began to have a conversation with him myself to renegotiate my Lenten promises. I'm not kidding you, and that went on for some time. So that's what happens with Jesus. There begins a conversation about this thing that he's attracted to, so that we can understand and get clarity why this is a good thing for us. And then it moves from there to the commission of the act, right? We commit the act, we fall, we sin. I think, as we take a look at this process of temptation and sinfulness, it tells us that we need to be really in touch with our woundedness, our vulnerabilities, our hurts, whatever level it might be. Now, with Jesus, this was on the level of physical hunger. So God, that's where the devil started with him. But think in our day and age, with all the needs, unmet needs when it comes to relationships and love and people hurting. That's where the devil plays. He says, hey, look at this option. Look at this outlet you can turn to find that need to be met. I'm not finding that need. Right now I'm vulnerable in my marriage because I'm not connecting with my spouse. But hey, look at over here, this person at work, and I we're really connecting, and I'm feeling connected. I'm attracted to this, and and then I have this dialogue. Well, it's right, this is a good thing, God. There's a harmony here. How can it not be good? And then we move to the fall. Pope Francis has been speaking a lot about the family as the heart of the new evangelization. Well, one reason that is because where are we supposed to experience the greatest amount of acceptance and love in our lives? Within our families. And if there is brokenness there, what's going to happen? We're going to be so full of holes that we're going to be looking for outlets to satisfy those needs in every way imaginable. We're going to be vulnerable to all kinds of different temptations. Now, all of us have wounds from, whether it's from family, whether it's in the workplace, at school. We all have vulnerabilities. So the idea is not like, okay, you can have a vulnerable, less life, that you don't have to have woundedness, that you can get through life without woundedness. No, for us, the answer is Christ. What's the greatest gift of the church? It's the mercy of God. And so what the mercy of God does is reaches down to us and meets us and embraces us in our weakness, in our vulnerability, in our sinfulness. And we find healing there. And we're strengthened there. And then we're not so susceptible to the temptations of the evil one. Or because he's trying to invite us to reject God's way, put God's way aside, and find our needs met in the world, which the devil is a liar, so ultimately it leads to emptiness and deeper woundedness and deeper vulnerability. And so on this first Sunday of Lent, when we focus on temptation, to have a better grasp of the process of temptation, how it's playing on our woundedness, it's an attractive good. It moves to a dialogue, a conversation about this is a good thing, it's rational, and then the commission of the act. And a time to accept where we are at in our fallenness and turn to the mercy of God, who is the healer, who has overcome all temptation.